Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
All right, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I've got some of my Eagles gear on, Eagles on the Hill. You can find some of the very Eagles gear. Well, you can't find the thing I'm wearing, actually. You can find a lot of Eagles gear at NFL.com. You can find the Eagles gear I'm wearing on the streets of Jerusalem. This is actually, let me see if I can get up here. Like, see if you can tell. It's the Philadelphia Eagles there is written in Hebrew on my my shirt that I got on here. Got that on the streets of Jerusalem. So you can't find that here in the United States. But if you go to Jerusalem, you can find it. But you can find lots of our Eagles gear at NFL.com and support Eagles on the Hill. There you go. So anyway, with that aside, you know, it's football season. We got to give a little plug there. But anyway, with that aside, today's topic is was sent in by one of our alert listeners. And that is a question. What is my opinion of the Shroud of Turin? So it's a fascinating topic. And I'll give you my opinion today on the Shroud of Turin. And you can check it out. I'll also put some links in the description of the both the video on YouTube and also in the audio platforms. So you can check out online some great websites about the Shroud of Turin. So here we go. For years, my sense of the Shroud of Turin was that it was a great forgery and a great fake. Made by somebody to make lots of money, along with lots of other relics in the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, as you know, has lots of different relics and things, and so and it's a great way. I don't know that they, well, I'm not going to impugn motives, but certainly is a great way to make money on relics. And so I thought for years it was a fake, and indeed a great website to go and kind of read about that would be this one on Bible.org, and I have it on the screen on YouTube there. But it's an article about the Shroud of Turin and the Resurrection of Christ on Bible.org. Bible.org, by the way, is a great website, has lots of great resources for us as Christians. Not everything there we agree with, and as you're going to hear in a moment, I'm not so sure I completely agree with the Bible.org article here on the Shroud of Turin. Nevertheless, I think it presents one side of the coin, that being that the Shroud of Turin is a fake and a forgery, and could even be, it says, demonic. So there you go. First of all, let's kind of talk about it. And the article begins this way. What is the Shroud of Turin? Because some people may not know what that is. But the Shroud of Turin is an ancient linen cloth. It says 14 feet by 4 feet. Hailed as a genuine burial garment of Jesus Christ. It supposedly contains the very image of Jesus Christ burned into the cloth by means of radiation created by his resurrection. The proponents of the shroud claim the image stands up to 20th century analysis as being humanly impossible to fake or duplicate. It is hailed as the 20th century proof of the resurrection through scientific examination. The big question people are asking is it authentic, which is what I've been asked to talk about here on the podcast. Many claim it is. And many are claiming we have an outstanding proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, proof that has the seal of scientific research, which ought to help skeptics to believe. And then it goes on from there. So, and what it does, goes on and talks about how it is that we believe in the resurrection, and it kind of, not kind of, it does debunk the whole Shroud of Turin and gives reasons why it is clearly not real, not true, not authentically the burial garment of Jesus. And for years, that's what I believed. I forget what caused me to bring in a guest speaker on the Sunday after Easter about 6 or 7 years ago to church. This guest speaker is a local person from Lincoln. He is a teacher at our Roman Catholic High School, Pius X, here in Lincoln, Nebraska. His name is Jim Bertrand. Somehow I found out about this guy. I decided to bring him in because he's an expert on the Shroud from the Roman Catholic perspective. And he brought with him his, I think it cost him a couple $1,000s, a replica of the Shroud and hung it up for us. And we had him speak after church one day. And I fully expected to be bored out of my mind by 5 minutes in and just kind of think that this was ridiculous. It turned out that I was fascinated by Jim Bertrand's presentation. Not only is he a great presenter, I wish I had him as a teacher. Not only was he a great presenter, but he was very, very convincing regarding the Shroud of Turin and presented the other side of the story that I had never really given much thought to about the authenticity of the Shroud. I will say I came away from his presentation, did a bunch of study after that, but I came away believing, wow, this could actually be the real deal. I'm not 100% convinced, for sure, but I began, at the beginning of the presentation, I was probably giving it a 5% chance of being real. And by the end of the presentation, I would say it had jumped up to 75%. And as I studied it further, it probably jumped up to 85% or so potential that the Shroud of Turin is the real deal, the real burial cloth of Jesus. Wow. I was shocked. It's always, you know, it's always shocking when you go into something and you think one thing, you've thought one thing your whole life, and then you start to study and you realize, wow, I might have been wrong my whole life. So there you go. So there's an article here I have up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube from the LincolnDiocese.org, which is Lincoln, Nebraska, about Jim Bertrand. And again, I'll post this link in the description on YouTube and on the various audio platforms so you can go check it out. So there's an article here about, it's called Man Presents Scientific Proof of the Shroud of Turin. So there you go. I also found online, on YouTube, of course, which is the repository of everything, an actual video of Jim Bertrand's presentation. I don't know if it's exactly the same one that we saw that Sunday morning after Easter 6 or 7 years ago, but it is nevertheless, you get a sense of the kind of information that Jim Bertrand presents. And so put that in the description as well. You can go check that out and see what you think. See if you think it's, if it has merit or not. I found it very, very interesting. Now, here's the deal, though. And I want to put this article by Bible.org back up on the screen here. The question is, does this prove the resurrection? And therefore, is it an opportunity for us to convince skeptics regarding the resurrection of Jesus? And to that, I would say an emphatic no. We are a people of faith. We are a people of faith, not against facts, not against scientific fact and reason and rational thought. Good science and rational thought support faith, but we are a people of faith, and it is by faith I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe it can be 99.9% scientifically proven, not scientifically proven, historically proven, because there's a difference in how we prove things historically versus scientifically. 99.9% historically proven, beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt, that the tomb of Jesus was empty on Easter morning. That, I believe, can be historically proven. In other words, in a court of law, uses historical proof, for instance. Some scientific proof mixed in, but basically in a court of law, you're trying to prove someone guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I believe that we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the tomb of Jesus was empty on Easter morning. How Jesus got out of that tomb is a matter of faith. And yet, I believe that history will show us that it is the most likely explanation for the empty tomb is the resurrection of Jesus. Of course, that would seem to be impossible if it weren't for miracles, right? There's a great passage which is quoted in the Bible.org article, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, that I think sheds light on this topic. So let me read it to you. Jesus, it's a parable of Jesus, the only parable, by the way, of Jesus where he names a person in the parable. Usually parables, the people in the parables don't have names, but in this particular parable, the guy has a name, and it's kind of confusing because the name is the same name as the guy that Jesus raised from the dead just before, a month or two before Palm Sunday. Anyway, here we go. Luke 16, verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor in every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus, there's the name Lazarus, that's not the guy that Jesus raised from the dead. It's just a fictional story, and Jesus names the guy. A certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And the rich man cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and none may cross over from there to us. And he said, the rich man said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the rich man said, No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Now, there's all kinds of potential implications from this parable. Parables, we'll just state this out there. Parables are in Scripture to teach one point. And the one point that this parable is trying to teach is what? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. That's the point. Now, there's other things in this parable that are true about heaven and hell, but we know those things are true from other parts of Scripture, and they're just supported by the parable. We don't gain other truths from the parable that would go against other Scripture, if that makes sense. The point of the parable is Jesus is saying, You people that are rejecting me, Moses and the prophets testify of me, Jesus is saying. And even if I rise from the dead, that will make no difference to you if you reject Moses and the prophets, which is what you're doing. That's the point of the parable. Let me kind of shift it a little bit and say, I'll quote the last two verses of the parable. But the rich man said, No, Father Abraham, if someone finds the genuine shroud, they will repent and believe the resurrection. But Jesus said to the rich man, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if even the shroud of the resurrection is found. Get the paraphrase there. So in other words, I don't believe that, and I agree here with Bible.org, I don't believe that the shroud is something that will convince suddenly the skeptical world of the resurrection of Jesus. I am 85% convinced that the shroud may indeed be the burial cloth of Jesus. It's pretty amazing, actually, the research done on it. That's not why I believe the resurrection. If the shroud were proved a forgery tomorrow, it would not change my beliefs about Jesus and his resurrection in the least. That's the point, and that's where we need to be. Whatever your opinion of the shroud is, whether your sense is after reading this material and researching it that the shroud is a total fake and forgery, or whether you are 100% convinced that the shroud is true, neither one of those should convince you of the resurrection of Jesus. Your faith in the resurrection should be based on other things, and finally on the Holy Spirit's work in your heart through Moses and the prophets, through the scriptures. That's where finally our faith is based, is what God has done for us in Christ. And how do we know that? From the scriptures, from the Word of God. So that's where that stands. All right, so let's see, what else do we have on the shroud here? I don't think anything else in particular. I think that's about it for my opinion of the Shroud of Turin. Encourage you today in your faith in the resurrection, but not to base it on the shroud. Oh yeah, let me say one more thing. In Jerusalem, there is a place that has, that displays a replica of the shroud. And then also this guy has, I should put a picture up here, but I don't have it right now. This guy has built out of, I think, bronze, a life-size Jesus based on the image of the shroud. In other words, what would the man who was buried in the shroud have looked like? And it's 3D, like it's a regular person. And so you walk into this museum, and there's the shroud, and then, but Jesus is laying there. I mean, not Jesus, but this, I don't know if it's made of bronze or metal, what kind of metal it is, but it's life-size, realistic, with the wounds that the shroud shows, and it's hard to look at. It's overwhelmingly powerful. I've taken one group on my tours to Israel, taken one group there to see it, and I will go back again when I can with other groups, because it is so powerful. Some of our people had to turn away. They just couldn't look. It was so powerful to think that that was what Jesus went through, the wounds on his body. It was just, it's amazing. Anyway, I'll let it go at that. How about that? Write me at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the shroud or other topics that you'd like us to talk about here at Eagles on the Hill. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. So there you have it. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.